Tom, thank you so much for being here. Tell us all about dealing with non-compliant franchisees.
Thank you, Chelsea. Thank you for setting this up too. As you said, you know, we were pretty excited about sort of the number of people that signed up here. So, you know, we're going to get started. Obviously, this is a, you know, I think it shows sort of the need. This is one of those areas of franchising that is, you know, always difficult to talk about. How do we handle that? How do we sort of coach them through that? And, you know, as franchise attorneys, that's kind of where the rubber meets the road when you're thinking about, you know, how do you keep people in compliance? So, you know, really what we've done here is this is kind of a best practices of, wait, hold on, I have my own little thing there, of things that we've experienced over time, right? So I, you know, those of you who know me, first of all, a number of our clients are on here. So thank you guys very much. And a lot of you will see this as a recording as clients. We're going to make this a required, you know, piece of our onboarding process so that everyone can sort of get on the same page and get thinking about, you know, how do you deal with when these things happen? So the overview of how we're going to, of how I want to approach this is really categorizing non-compliance and talk about, you know, how do these things manifest themselves and process, right? Franchisors have to think processes. You have to really, this is no different than any other process. And a fair, transparent, well thought out process is going to solve a lot of problems. And my big thing, those of you who know me, is avoid unnecessary escalation. You know, there's a time to fight and there's a time to kind of get through a problem. And we're going to talk about that and talk about finding solutions. So kind of diving right into that, you know, diving right into the to the piece here, my technology, now I got it. Categorizing non-compliance. I think that's how you have to start. You have to start thinking about it, right? So, you know, as mentioned, our franchisor clients, you know, we do a lot of, you know, emerging brands, people who just get into the franchising world, all the way up to clients with hundreds of brands. And at the end of the day, at some point, you know, I'm a big believer in franchising. I think it works. I don't think it should be an us against them mentality. I think it's a program to take your vision as a franchisor, what you've built, and then you're essentially renting your business model so that someone else can build security and wealth for their family. You're taking a bigger risk as a franchisor and you have more responsibilities. And I think that that synergy between franchisees and franchisors is what really drives our industry. And there comes a time though, when you have this vision of your brand and, you know, a franchisee joins and maybe they were a wrong fit. Maybe, you know, they didn't really do as much due diligence as they should, or some life event happened. They, you know, had financial troubles they didn't expect. They had a relationship issue. They have a health problem. They're just not good business people because they can't, you know, they went from the corporate world or something and now they own a business and they can't act. For whatever reason, at some point as a franchisor, you will have a franchisee that is not compliant, right? So I use that, I specifically and intentionally use the word non-compliance so that you think about like, and then you start to break it down. And if you notice, as you're reading this, I categorize them, there's two big buckets that people fall into. You know, are they, is it this intentional where you have a problem, you really need to deal with it, or is it something that's happening? So I think on the left side, right, the same act, I believe you should have that empathy and you should peel back the onion a bit and ask why. Why is this person not complying, right? Are they just, as I mentioned before, a bad business owner? You know, they ran a corporate store, they were used to infrastructure and they froze. You know, you're an entrepreneur, it's hard. You have to act. No one's necessarily telling you to go out and do that. Yes, as a franchisor, you're telling them, but it's not a day-to-day. So, or are they a bad actor? Did they get into it in false pretenses? Do they not really care about the general system? Are they a bad actor? Then you have, of course, these non-financial defaults versus financial defaults. Is this a problem where they're just not, you know, following the system with the marketing and they're not doing the branding right? Or is it a financial default where this is something where they owe you money? And we're going to talk about the different ways to handle that because there's a different strategy for each one. And then you have what I would call as a nuisance non-compliance with a brand standard where it's annoying, right? Hey, we don't want to have, you know, we don't want to put tip jars out. We don't want to do, you know, we this is old POS. And then there's critical brand standards, that it is at the heart of your brand. And I think you have to be realistic that it's not all going to always go perfectly. And there's a cost of compliance, both a dollar cost, an emotional cost, and an internal ecosystem cost of compliance. And every system is a little bit different. And then, you know, first time offenders versus repeat offenders. So I would say when you have this issue come up, your first step in analyzing the problem, in diagnosing the problem, is going through and saying, why, what happened? Categorize that noncompliance and have a strategy based on that. And of course, that comes down to, you know, the next piece, which is have a consistent process, right? It's very important that you have a consistent process, because your franchisees all talk, right? They're all talking to one another. And if you don't give them a consistent process, first of all, it's hypocritical for you as a franchisor, because you want your franchisees always to follow a process. And you have to also be willing to control your behavior through your own processes and have this, you know, if then statement. So you need a plan. You need to recognize that we actually give this training right when someone sells their first franchise agreement, which kind of sounds like we're a big wet blanket. Oh, I finally did a deal and now we're giving you this training. The reason we're doing that is because you want to set up your system on the right foot. And it's never too late, by the way, to put in a consistent process. So have a plan. No, if someone isn't doing something, I'm going to do something. And you have to have internal training. You know, for those of you that are founder run, you know, you have to almost train yourself. If you have field folks, if you have coaches out in the field, they have to recognize noncompliance. You have to talk them through that last slide of what categories this fall into. And, you know, do I have my coach hat on? Do I have my police hat on? You know, where am I going here with the answer? And document. And this is our document. You know, we have this, and I'd be happy, by the way, to share this with anybody. Just drop Chelsea or me an email. If you're a client, we've given you this already as branded. And basically, this is that have a plan. So our approach in that consistent process is you document it. You say, here's your violation. It's a standard violation notice. You know, we're not calling it a default. Even technically, it's a default, because we're trying to keep the temperature at a level where the emotions aren't driving it, but the process is driving it. So you basically, is it a first notice? And what's the violation type? Very simple, objective, and you give them time to cure. Now, your franchise agreement might say, oh, this is incurable. You have 10 days. You have to be reasonable. You know, these document is because you're not just writing to the franchisee. Look, as a franchisor, you have a goal to get everyone operating on the same page, happy and making money, and be a raving fan. And so when they step out of line, the way you discipline them, the way you corral them back in, has as much to say about anything. If you pick up the phone and you call your lawyer and you say, this guy owes me $17, send him a default letter, you're going to have a problem down the road with creating this animosity between you and your franchisees. If you start sending him nasty letters, it's like yelling all the time. If you're yelling all the time, if you're berating them, that's how they feel, right? They get these letters from lawyers and they're angry, and then they show it to their, and it just escalates unnecessarily. You send them a letter, you tell them it's coming for anything. The accounting department says, you know what? We tried to hit them with an ACH and it didn't go through. Have empathy. Who knows? They changed bank accounts. They're a little bit broke. They had these. Understand it, but send them the notice. Look, I'm just letting you know, you got to fix it in 2 weeks, 30 days. Be more generous in this standards violation notice than what your franchise agreement holds. Because to bring it all the way out to the logical extreme, 1 out of 10, 1 out of 20 of these, they might go to the mat. And you might have a franchisee that is a bad actor, that is upsetting brand standards. This goes back to that first bucket, right? You want to weed out where this is coming so that most people want to do a good job. Most people don't want to be on the business end of these violation notices. Maybe there was a misunderstanding. Maybe you send this and you say, you know, you have put up last year's branding standards, and maybe one of your team members had told them it was okay. Okay, fine. We have it on paper. It's a violation notice. Not a default here. Solve it. Now, if they blow it off, if they ignore it, you send a second one, you know, Check the box. Second notice. Hey, you said we told you to cure this in 2 weeks. You didn't fix it. You have to fix it. So, so then what you do is you're basically, honestly, in our experience, 90% of the people are solved by this. Or, and I say solved by, you either get to the root cause of the problem. They don't have any money. They haven't done this. They can't do that. Well, then you have to negotiate with them. But you now have this upper hand because you've set the stage. And if they completely blow this off, you're planning for the worst case scenario. Because then, in our world, the third notice then comes from us. Look, this is a default of the franchise agreement. We warned you twice. We gave you two opportunities to fix this, and you blew us off. So now, what's worst case? Plan for worst case scenario. The worst case scenario is they're then going to bring that to their lawyer or their friend, or they're going to pretend they have a lawyer and they're going to write something back nasty. And you're writing this, you know, you got to always be, it's a game of chess, right? You're thinking a couple moves ahead. So the purpose of these violation notices is also writing to the attorney that they're going to hire. You know, think it through. You have a franchisee that's not making money. They're upset, and they're upset with you. Whether it's your fault or not, they're upset with you. And you have to take ownership and understanding of that. So if they are not complying and you send them this initial nasty letter, they're going to go to possibly an attorney, and they're going to tell their side of the story, which is going to be completely one-sided. And then that professional is going to say, my client has been wronged here. Let me get this document. Let me send back this nasty letter back. Whereas if, you know, I'm an attorney on the other end, we don't represent franchisees anymore. And, you know, certainly not in litigation, but I used to, right? That's how I can have this understanding of this mindset and this process. If I'm on the business end of this and my client comes to me and gives me a default letter, two violation notices, ample opportunity to cure. And the first question I ask is, well, what did you do when you got these notices? And if it is, well, I didn't do anything, then now so your audience is not just the franchisee, it's the franchisee's attorney, and it's eventually some arbitrator or judge. So you're planning for this worst case scenario. Hopefully, though, you're planning in such a way that you avoid it and you never get to that. So that's that creating a consistent process is really the most important part of this whole system. Don't have one-offs. Everyone, they get the process. People will then understand, and franchisees will know, well, there's an escalation here. We get this, and then it goes up. And so on that escalation piece, you have to also recognize that you have to avoid unnecessary escalation. And I think that's the single biggest problem that franchisors make, and the single biggest problem with these sort of issues that emerging new brands make. Hey, Spady Liana wrote this awesome document that's so strong and so tough, and I'm the franchisor now, and these people aren't paying. And stop, take a deep breath, relax. The process is more important, right? I was talking with someone. Yes, the franchise agreement's important. The words are important. But, you know, in U.S. law, there's a whole body of, you know, thought around the equities of the situation. I mean, who's the harm party and what's the fairness about here? And you're the big bad franchisor, and they're just this poor innocent franchisee. No matter that they may have a bigger business than you in the beginning, that's irrelevant in terms of the optics of it. So the optics of it are super important to get everything lined up and avoid unnecessary escalation. Don't get personal, mad, or overly upset. Don't write the email back to them right after, you know, happy hour, after you've talked with your partner about how horrible they are. You got to just relax. And in fact, that's why I say noncompliance, you go to a form. Let the form discipline you. Let the form create a better habit for you. You're a passionate franchisor. You're obviously a little bit like crazy and unhinged, or you wouldn't be a franchisor. I love founders and franchisors. So you have to check that passion at the door, or it's going to blow up and sort of come back to you. So, you know, I once had a mentor. He said, how do you spell principle, right? Is it the principle of a thing or the dollar principles that's coming out? Think about that. And don't lawyer up too early, right? Don't send that. That's why with our clients, Let me see these two forms. You don't want that first letter coming from us. And some of our legacy clients that don't use the forms, fine. We'll ghostwrite that email or letter for you. Don't lawyer up too early because it gets people's backs up. They're going to go to their lawyer and the thing starts to escalate unnecessarily. And have empathy for the franchisee. Understand, why is this happening? What is causing this? There's some root cause that you, it's just, you're the leader. You're the coach. Take ownership of that and don't just push it back and say, well, you signed a contract, pal. You better just comply. You know, I don't care. Just comply. You know what? You legally can do that, but you're the health of your system. Play the long game, right? You know, I love doing that. Last webinar we did is planning for the big exit. This is all tied into it. How you deal with these tricky traps. This is a trap for you. This is a trap that you as a franchisor could fall into and blow up your whole system over a couple of bad apples. Deal with them, have empathy, and you know, don't risk a $100,000 problem. Look, if you litigate, you're talking $50,000, $100,000, $200,000. And these things could have started as a $10,000 problem. You know, people always jump to litigation, but it's like, you know, my brother's he's a professional airline pilot with United. And we always talk about this. And you know, he says, you know, plane crashes are 17 mistakes, all done in the exact sequence in a row. So there's always a point. I think litigation is the same thing when you get to the whole bomb. There are so many chances to get off that path and solve it. And don't get mad. Don't get personal. Have empathy and get on a path to solving that problem. And so when you think about, you know, the problems and a solution, right? So finding a solution. I give this advice a lot. Some of you on this call, I may have given you this advice. Talk to the franchisees about selling. You would be surprised. One of two things happens, and it's amazing to me, and it's amazing to the franchisors that many times if a franchisor goes to the franchisee and says, look, you know, you're struggling with non-compliance here. You know, you're not doing what we're saying you're doing. You're supposed to make this many visits and you're not pulling the trigger on the marketing, and you know, you're questioning everything that we're doing. You know, that's the franchise. You're in our chat room and you don't trust us anymore. Listen, Joe, maybe it's time to move on. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. Maybe you're just not cut out for even franchising. Maybe you're too entrepreneurial and that's okay. But this isn't going to end well. And you know, remember that the stakes are a lot higher. Even though it doesn't feel like that, the stakes are a lot higher for the franchisee. These non-compliance forms, these things that are pushing you to say that they could lose their whole business over that. So the stakes are a lot higher. So I think you have to talk to them about selling, and it's a wake-up call. Many times people will say, what? I was just trying to be helpful. Well, let's have this conversation. There are better, more constructive ways for you to be helpful. You need to be compliant. It's part of being a franchisee. Explain to them. Franchising, you know, we're the coach, you're the player, you do the execution, we're seeing the whole field. If you're here not compliant, you're hurting not only yourself and the whole system, and that's okay. We can help you transition this business. And maybe they're going to take a loss even, but have that conversation. And they're either going to say, you're right, it's time to go. They're going to dig in and fight, but playing the long game. You're telling a good story. You went to them early, mitigate your damages. All these things are making you the good person and you're chipping away at the story that you're the big bad franchisor. Or they're going to get their act together and they're going to say, I can't believe, and, you know, it's like basically saying, hey, should we be getting a divorce here? Do we not love each other anymore? And if they want to sell, be magnanimous. Waive the transfer fee, get them leads. You want to get them out. If they are not complying and they're not being good franchisees, you should have a list every year and have this talk. You're not, you know, are you pushing them out? You're coaching them out. You're releasing them back into the pool of someone else's problem and someone else's business. So, you know, push them towards that. Now, do they need extra training? Do they need help? Is one of these non-compliance issues dealt with, you know, I made a comment on the earlier slides about, are they a bad business owner or a bad actor? Maybe they're a bad business owner. I actually think a lot of non-compliance issues with franchisees stem from the fact that we as in the franchise community are always thinking of our own brand standards and the policing and putting them in a box. And, you know, what kind of truck do you drive? And what kind of solvent do I use to clean the side of this house? And which side do I put the ketchup on? And which side do I put the mustard on? All super important. I'm not minimizing that. But you're an entrepreneur if you're a franchisor. So there's a huge part of your personality and skill set that you've probably forgotten, which is just being a business owner, just understanding accountability for your own actions, understanding risk, understanding, you know, paying your bills and being a business owner and hiring people. And for a lot of people that have never owned a business, that's the part that crushes them. So are you giving them the support? You know, root cause, if you're having these compliance issues, what's the root cause? Did we not train them well enough? And so, you know, there's ways to do that and give them that extra training, give that an extra support. Look at it as kind of a joint problem to solve, because it's not working for me, and it's not working for you. Don't put your head in the sand, because that will escalate the problem. You know, dealing with non-compliant franchisees, I love it. And people joining this webinar or me, you know, asking you as a franchisor client of mine, and you're a new client, just signed your first franchisor, our franchisee, don't put your head in the sand. You have to engage when that's smoke. You got to go find the fire and put it out. This is smoke. Non-compliance is smoke. There's a fire burning somewhere and you need to do it. And you know what the third one is? Write a check. Just write a check. Just settle it. It's far better. It's better. Just settle it. Come up to a number. Be done with it. Let them move on. You move on. You weren't happy in that relationship and they weren't really fulfilling your vision, right? Think of that. First things first. Just kind of go back to your basics of why you're a franchisor. You want someone to fulfill your vision, someone to execute, someone to take care of clients the way you took care of clients. Well, write a check and move on if they're not doing that. And then there's the fourth one, that's fight it out for the good of the system. This goes to the bad actor, right? The other ones were this bad business owner and they're not doing well. There are times, you know, fight very few wars, but the ones you fight win. And so by setting this up, you might have an actor, a bad actor who's thinking about competing against you, who's thinking about taking your sign down or worse, keeping your sign up, not paying your royalties, knocking you off and creating a competing system. Well, those are the fights you got to fight and they're hard. And the better you document it, the better you deal with that non-compliant franchisee, the sooner you know. And then it is how you spell principal, because you're going to spend more money on fighting it out if it's a system issue. If it's, hey, every franchisee is looking and there at some point might come a time. It's not guaranteed. I am actually a believer that the majority of our franchisors never end up in litigation. I don't think it's a necessary part of the business world or franchising. There's ways to avoid it that we just went over on this presentation, but it's just that mindset. However, there comes a time where you do have to fight it out, and you know, trademark infringement, knocking you off, being a bad actor, you know, even not paying your bills, not because they're broke, but because they have this money and they just don't want to pay, you know, all the franchisees look. So there comes a time where you do have to dig in and fight. But it's avoid unnecessary escalation, but don't avoid all escalation. I think that might be my takeaway here at the end, is that get rid of the 90 to 95% of the ones that should be solved in a way that's, you know, fair and patient and write them a check and get them out of the system. And you get down to those couple that are like, ooh, these are something that are worth fighting over. And then if you've treated the bad actors by assuming they were good actors through the process, I gave them my non-compliance form. I went through my two steps. I sent them a letter that said, hey, let's talk. I talked to them about selling. I talked to them about extra training. I even offered to write them a check and they're still out there trying to fight me. Well, you know, at this point, this is scar tissue that hopefully will make you better. That's the time to fight. But that should be very, very few. And so if you end up in a fight, a real fight, a litigation fight prematurely, you are, first of all, having a fight you should have never even had. And second of all, you probably have not set the table properly so that when you do litigate, you have a better path towards victory. So it's all about strategy. Play the long game, right? I'm going to end it where I began it. Play the long game. You're trying to build generational wealth as a franchisor. This is part of franchising. You have to understand that people are not always going to be compliant. Don't take it personal. It's not that, you know, don't take it as this is horrible disrespect and how could they do that? And they signed an agreement. Stop it. Stop it. Come up to a solution. Be bigger than the problem. It's smoke. Find the fire. Put the fire out and move on. And then once you do it and you have a habit of doing it, and then your franchisees talk, you know, you don't want to be the franchisor picking on a franchisee because that'll hurt your relationship with the other franchisees. Your goal is for franchisees to make money and to be raving fans of yours. And if you're talking about non-compliance, then you obviously have neither of those things are happening. So you need to be thinking about the rest of the community and how are they watching you discipline, which, by the way, is why sometimes you have to fight it out for the good of the system because everybody else is watching you because they're hurting the brand. Hey, all these other franchisees invested all this money in you and they're hurting the brand. So so that's how you have to think about it. You know, that's the real big takeaways. Have a process, have it be clean, have it take the emotion out of it, follow that process, and don't unnecessarily escalate. And basically, 95% of the problems can be solved by that. So thank you guys for this. I hope this was helpful. You know, for clients of ours, you will have those forms. You'll have that process. We have this recorded. I recommend that you show this presentation to everyone who is dealing with franchisees because you want to get their head in the right space of what is franchising all about and how to deal with it. So operations people and people in the field who maybe are new to franchising, they need to think like a coach because they're the ones who are going to be the first interaction and we want to get that right.
Fabulous, Tom. Thank you so very much. We did have several questions come through the chat. And so folks, if you have questions that you haven't already entered, now is your chance. So please do so. I'm just going to scroll through here and try and find some of them for you.
Great.
Okay. One second. We had a question about the form that you showed. Is there a way that folks can be able to get a hold of that? It doesn't mean they can be able to just Google.
Yeah, so that's an internal form that we've created and we share with our clients. So if you are not a client of the firm, you know, send me an email, send Chelsea an email. Here, you have my email right here. Send me an email and I will, you know, we can connect on that and I'd be happy to share that.
Fantastic. Yes, folks, everything was recorded today and it will be available on our website a couple of days after. So you definitely should follow us on social media. That's where we'll be making the notification to let you all know that you can catch the recording from today. We had a big question here. For an emerging brand, how do you get franchisees compliant as you are changing culture from informal to formal? Risk being these owners help build the brand, but are consistently non-compliant with regard to branding, system and tools, marketing, and more. Part of the challenge being everybody is arguably a friend.
So I think that starts with conversations before you start firing off forms and you start talking about the you know, synergy of the system is that the there's a franchisor, there's a franchisee, and we're all friends here, but we're also playing a team sport. Franchising is a team sport. And I'm the coach and you're the player. And that's a big problem. And you're going to see that issue with emerging with initial franchisees who have a higher risk profile and they join and they're not always super compliant. So I think you have to have that conversation of compliance is important. It's really important and don't pick everything, you know, don't be greedy about your compliance. Pick a couple of things that are like super important, paying the bills, the brand standards, some of those high things. And over time, maybe you can get stricter, but pick a couple of things that are like, hey, these are immovable. We're not going to negotiate over these. And then you give them some time and you say, look, I know we've been, have a all hands on deck meeting if you're small, in person. And you say, good news and bad news. Good news is we're going to start growing. This brand is going to be worth more, and therefore your individual investment is going to be worth more. The bad news is I'm going to start holding you to a higher standard. Although I would call that good news because it's going to make you a better business owner. But moving forward, next month, some of these things that you guys are not complying with, we're going to start insisting that you start complying. And then if it's really endemic, what you need to do is focus in the reverse and get the compliant people first and get them to be fans and get them to comply. I've done this a couple times with brands who say they moved on and now they want to get compliance. Don't actually attack the non-compliers first. Get the compliance people complying. Once you get past 50, 60% of compliance on new programs, then you start peer pressuring and pushing the non-compliant people over because their peers are going to have a louder voice. And they're going to say, hey, we paid for the new sign. We bought the new mixer. How come Jane isn't doing that? You know, that's not fair. It's hurting the whole system. So that's a whole strategy. And that's probably a deeper discussion that I'd be happy to have with anyone. But basically, you need to get the whole thing moving in that direction so that you end up with the compliance on those who comply, and then you slowly circle. Otherwise, you're going to have a revolt on your hands. If you go after the non-compliant people first, then they're going to revolt and all the others are going to wait and they're not going to comply until that fight's over. But if you go for the people that are fans and they're going to comply voluntarily and they're going to see that it's good for them and it's working for them, then it's going to be easier to get the whole system complying. So there's a whole strategy around that.
We had a comment. I think it was something that you might've mentioned. So hopefully you remember. They weren't sure why you were mentioning that to be writing a check. What is that check for?
To get to settle. Someone feels hurt. They signed the franchise agreement. They did whatever. And they're like, you know, pay me 20 grand and I'm going to leave. Be prepared for that. You know, that's further in the thing. Franchisors get like bent out of shape or don't collect that last bit of money that you owe. It means write a check. It means exactly what it says. It says, so you write a $20,000 check for the franchisee to go away, who you don't like anyway, or you write a $20,000 check to put on retainer to a lawyer with an open bar tab, basically, right? Buy the Uber and get out of town, or open up a bar tab for everybody in the thing. You got to throw your credit card down in one direction or the other. Which one's riskier and which one's more expensive? Buy the Uber, get out of town, write the check and be done with it.
I don't see any other questions at this time. If you're not already following us, please follow Spadia Law on LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter. Keep an eye on our events calendar, which is again on spadialaw.com, as well as seeing our notifications on social media. I don't see anything else that came through. So I want to thank everyone again for being here today. This was awesome. Tom, thank you so much for the presentation, and we'll catch everyone very soon.
Thanks, everyone.